We're talking about a federal proposal to remove gray wolves from the endangered species list and turn the management of wolf populations over to states. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. The public comment period ends Monday. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service proposed this rule in March that would lead to the hunting and trapping of wolves in the lower 48 states. So what do you think the right population number should be for wolves here in Wisconsin? What do you think should be done to prevent wolf attacks on livestock? Join in with your thoughts, your reactions, 800-642-1234. Adrian Trevis is a professor of environmental studies at UW-Madison, and he founded the Carnivore Coexistence Lab. Adrian, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate.
So you reviewed the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's evidence for taking wolves off the endangered species list. What are some of the agency's main arguments for doing this?
Right. So by the Endangered Species Act, the agency is required to impanel five peer reviewers, five scientists coming at it from different angles. And all five of us approached their proposal from very different biological or the human dimensions of the problem. Their main argument is that wolves are secure in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and that no other areas of the country are that important to the survival of the species in the USA, excluding, of course, the Northern Rocky Mountains wolves, which were not part of that proposal.
So in the Pacific Northwest, wolves aren't doing as well as they're doing here in the Midwest?
That's correct. Yeah, in Washington, Oregon, and Northern California, there's what I think of as sort of a fledgling population just established recently.
Why is that?
Well, it takes time, and the major cause of mortality for wolves are humans. And among the human causes of mortality, the worst cause is poaching or illegal killing. And that's true of all of the wolf populations that are we've studied over the years, all of them endangered. So all of them protected by the Endangered Species Act, and yet illegal killing is the major cause of wolf deaths. So recovery can be very slow. Sometimes it can stall completely, as we saw with red wolves in North Carolina.
What factors then outweigh those points in your view? Why should wolves be kept on the endangered species protections?
Oh, because the law, the Endangered Species Act, requires that before delisting a species, it must have recolonized or recovered in a significant portion of its range. And so at the moment, it's less than 15% of the historic range of gray wolves. And there are vast areas, including the southern Rocky Mountains and the state of Colorado, vast areas that contain suitable habitat for wolves that are currently empty or have just the occasional dispersing wolf traveling through there, often getting killed by somebody. So there are also areas throughout most of the states of our union where wolves could live. And our public opinion surveys here in Wisconsin, as well as some nationwide surveys by Ohio State University, suggest that a large number of people in many states would welcome the recovery of wolves in their area.
How much of a concern is poaching if wolves are taken off the endangered species list? What would happen?
Well, I believe it's a huge concern because for the 3 years that they were taken off the list here in Wisconsin, we saw an incredible increase in mortality of wolves. Much of that was legal, but a large proportion that isn't measured well was illegal killing. So we had more than half of the radio-collared wolves in Wisconsin disappear the very first year that they were taken off the federal list. And our agencies had not been doing a very good job of measuring that poaching, keeping track of it, or estimating the effect it's having on population growth. There's kind of a perception that wolves recovered despite poaching, so it's okay, but poaching is an environmental crime. It's stealing from the public by a few individuals who are basically acting lawlessly. It goes against Wisconsin's traditions of law-abiding wildlife management.
We're discussing whether gray wolves in Wisconsin should stay on the endangered species list, and UW-Madison professor Adrian Trevis is with us. You can join in our conversation, 800-642-1234. Do you think wolves should be kept on the endangered species list or be returned to state management. Share your questions, your stories about wolves here in Wisconsin at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Melissa joining us from Minocqua. Hi, Melissa.
Good morning. We have a small hobby farm, and it's not common, but it's not infrequent that we hear the wolves and occasionally see them. But a couple years ago, we had one that had gotten some of our birds, and the wolf would go during the day through a neighbor's yard who had young children and never did anything, but it was disconcerting. So the wolf had gotten some of our birds, and we had called the DNR not to have it killed, but to have it moved or trapped or something. And I had a picture of it. We had scat with feathers. And the DNR said, we can't do anything without a carcass. Well, how are you supposed to get a carcass from a wolf? And we were all so frustrated. And the problem is then people start taking it into their own hands, which I have the willow pack by me, and I cannot tell you how many people, whether they're on the endangered species list or not, will kill the wolves.
Melissa, thank you for your call and that situation that you described. How common is that?
Thanks for your call, Melissa, and sorry for your loss. As far as I'm aware, the agency can intervene based on the evidence you described, if they're able to inspect that evidence and verify it, confirm it the way you were. These are not very common across the whole area of farming in Wisconsin, but of course it can affect individual farms and farmers. It can be quite serious and concerning for them. So there are a variety of non-lethal methods to protect one's domestic animals or even to keep wolves out of one's property if that's a concern, short of killing the wolves. Most people, as you know, manage coexistence with wolves in northern Wisconsin without resorting to lethal methods. But you're right, there are a lot who are going to simply take the events into their own hands and illegally kill those wolves. And there's almost never investigation or prosecution of those events. And so it's something of an invisible crime going on out there.
As Melissa said, can you actually trap the wolf and move it to a different location? Because wolves, they travel hundreds of miles.
Wolves do travel hundreds of miles. I wouldn't recommend a private citizen attempting to live trap a wolf and relocate it, and it would probably just come back. So for a long time, the DNR did do translocation, and they would move wolves hundreds of kilometers. That wasn't a very successful program, and it was hugely expensive and time-consuming, but it did satisfy those with concerns about their domestic animals or fears for human safety, which are extremely rare in our state. So the methods that are recommended for avoiding any kinds of conflicts with wolves non-lethally are electric fencing, livestock guarding dogs, which are special breeds, not your ordinary breeds of dogs, and something called phladry, which is it's a Polish word. It refers to a kind of a visual deterrent, a flagging hung from fence lines, and it seems to be effective for a time, and coupled with human supervision seems to be very effective in keeping wolves away from an area.
Let's bring in Jack now from Caledonia. Hi, Jack.
How are you guys today?
Doing well. What's on your mind about the wolves?
Just how does it affect the deer population in the various areas, you know, whether it's in Wisconsin or, you know, out in the Rockies? Or
thanks for that question, Jack. So at the height of the wolf population, there is an estimate that annually about 25,000 deer would be eaten by the wolves. And just for comparison, to put that in perspective, about twice that number are killed by our vehicles on the roads every year, and 10 times that number or more are killed by human hunters every year. So one can see a local effect of a large predator on deer. The deer are going to be scared, skittish, change their habits, move to different places. But it's not having a major regulating effect on the whole deer population across the state. And also we have to bear in mind how much human activity, how much human behaviors change our deer. So we have a damage and compensation program here in the state for farmers. A lot of deer get killed to protect crops like cranberries and such. And our amazing hunting population, our tradition of hunting deer every fall, right, is removing hundreds of thousands of deer and using different methods than our fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers might have used. Things like baiting has changed and so forth.
What do we know about the impact to livestock from the gray wolf population?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the data are much better from before 2012, before the first delisting time. And at that time, less than 1% of farms across Wisconsin were affected. Even across northern Wisconsin, it was less than 1%. And other causes like disease, weather, and accidents are far more serious for livestock owners than predators are in general. And among predators, wolves, simply because there are a small number of them, cause fewer problems than, say, coyotes or bears. So I'm not minimizing the problem, but we have to put it in perspective when we're talking about state policy.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is debating whether to remove gray wolves from protections under the endangered species list, and their management would then return to states and tribal nations. Public comment period ends Monday. Adrian Trevis stays with us. He's a professor of environmental studies at UW-Madison. Would you support another wolf hunt here in Wisconsin? Should federal protections be lifted on gray wolves? Why or why not? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about a proposal to delist wolves from the federal endangered species list as the public comment period ends Monday. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is one of about a dozen states to have a wild gray wolf population. Gray wolves were once almost extinct in the lower 48, and now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is calling them one of the greatest comebacks for any animal. There are about 900 gray wolves here in Wisconsin, more than 2,600 in Minnesota from the last federal count. Would you support another wolf hunt in Wisconsin? What do you want to know about the population here? We're at 800-642-1234. And UW-Madison professor Adrian Trevis is with us, and he founded the Carnivore Coexistence Lab. Let's go back to the phones now with Norm joining us from Oneida County. Hi, Norm.
Hey, good morning. Several things here. When they did have a hunting season on wolves, one year there were 257 wolves killed, and they don't know how many were killed illegally. The other thing is we think a lot of people feel the population will level off. Wolves are very territorial, and there's only so many territories to go around. And one last thing here, there's a group called the Threatened Species List. That means they're off the endangered species list, they're on the threatened species list, and Wildlife Services would then have the authority to take out problem wolves, but there would not be a hunting season on wolves. We are strongly against the hunting season on wolves.
Norm, thanks for the call. He brings up several issues there, Adrian.
Thanks for joining us, Norm. Yeah, as far as I know, you've got the numbers right, and you're correct about the threatened species status under the Endangered Species Act. That would give more flexibility to states and tribes to, say, contract with wildlife services or to work with another agency to remove those rare problem wolves that are causing chronic problems or threatening human safety. So one avenue the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service might have followed was to change the listing of wolves in the lower 48 states to threatened, but they chose to jump all the way to delisting, complete removal of federal protections, which we know from past experience will lead to hunting trapping seasons and a big uptick in those problem animal control actions, which are lethal typically under wildlife services. It also seems to be associated with an uptick in poaching or illegal killing. And therefore, I looked very carefully at the science the Fish and Wildlife Service presented about human-caused mortality, both legal and illegal, across the nation and historically, and I found serious gaps in the science. The Fish and Wildlife Service ignored some of the best available science and simply presented its apparently preferred view that wolves would be just fine without federal protections. And in my scientific judgment, they had a preconceived notion, a preconceived conclusion, and they tried to bend the science to fit that.
Well, let's talk the numbers here. We know there were around 950 wolves that roamed Wisconsin last winter, according to the recent numbers from the DNR. That's up slightly from the previous year. We've got numbers out of Minnesota that looking at about 2,600 wolves there. How has the wolf population changed in Wisconsin historically?
Well, I'm going to be a little bit ornery, like, you know, most folks in Wisconsin are at times when we talk about numbers of wildlife. Those counts cannot be verified, and the count in Minnesota is equally questionable. There are huge confidence bounds on that, meaning that the range of possible numbers of wolves in Minnesota by a, you know, pretty simple calculation that I published for the Fish and Wildlife Service, pretty simple calculation has them lower than 1,251 wolves in Minnesota. Could be much higher than they're saying, but the way they count is very imprecise. Here in Wisconsin, scientists are unable to verify the accuracy of the wolf count ever since 2012, when the system for counting our wolves in our state changed and became much less transparent. Before 2012, I had more confidence in the wolf counts, although there's, you know, the usual kind of a little bit of imprecision here and there, some minimum and maximum estimates. We had more confidence before 2012. And then with the change of administration and a reduction in transparency that supposedly was because of poaching for wolves, turns out that transparency made it harder for scientists, that lack of transparency made it harder for scientists to verify the count and harder for scientists to study poaching.
Let's talk about territory for a moment. What is the gray wolf habitat looking like here in Wisconsin? Because we know territory is a big issue for wolves.
Well, wolves are habitat generalists. So around the world, they can live from the, you know, the Arctic, the tundra, boreal forests, all the way down to deserts like the South U.S. Southwest. So they're habitat generalists. They generally tend to avoid people. They're quite shy of people and elusive. So places where they're running into a lot of roads, a lot of structures and a lot of people, they're going to tend to avoid those because of our history of persecuting wolves. But apart from that, we see them pretty much occupying any area where there's suitable prey, which is white-tailed deer in our region. And so we have about half the state unoccupied by wolves. And there are many other states near us that could host packs of breeding wolves if the, you know, regulatory framework were made suitable, or people were tolerant of the wolves. They could recolonize areas of Illinois, Iowa, the Dakotas, the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. So I don't really think the wolves are running out of range. What they're running out of is the tolerance of people to allow them to settle in those areas. And part of that is, some of that's changing with changing societal values towards nature. Some of it's changing with the regulatory system states have in place, but not fast enough. And what we see with delisting is that those hunting and trapping seasons and the liberal lethal control programs that the states implemented, that reduces the ability of wolves to recolonize new areas. So there's vast swaths of the U.S. where the public cannot see wolves in their own state as a result of policies such as Wisconsin's hunting and trapping season.
Adrian, let me ask you this. How long have you been studying wolves, and what fascinates you about them?
I've been working on wolves for 20 years here in Wisconsin, and I've interviewed folks. I've studied wolves on the ground with the wolves themselves, but also the people who coexist with them. I'm fascinated in how we act and talk about coexistence with wolves. There's a huge gulf between what one hears, say, over the radio from the people who are called on to speak about it versus what the average person on the street or out in the farm might say. I was amazed in interviews with 42 Wisconsin farmers. These are beef cattle producers, small family farms generally. In interviews with 42 of them, only one of those farmers wanted wolves eradicated from the state. Every other farmer said, I'm okay with our native predators living on this landscape, or even saying, those are beautiful animals, I want them out there. They're unanimous, of course, that they don't want their beef calves killed by the wolves. But the extremes we sometimes hear in the public policy debate is not the reality on the ground. And I would just like Wisconsin's public and the reality on the ground to be heard a little bit more often.
As we start to wrap up here, what is the next step in this process? We know the public comment period closes Monday, and then what happens?
Yeah, if I could encourage your audience to write, it's easy, it's online. You can just express your opinion, whether you support listing or support delisting. Very easy to do. Perhaps the radio station could post the link. I'm not sure if there's an online companion to this. So the next step is the federal government, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, has to decide if it's going to move ahead with its proposed rule. In other words, is it going to delist gray wolves officially? That usually takes maybe a few months, but they may also pull back from the proposal. In my opinion, all five of the scientific peer reviewers found major shortcomings in the science behind the proposed rule. So I would encourage the Fish and Wildlife Service to go back, do their homework again, do it properly, and really work on a nationwide recovery plan for wolves before they jump to any conclusion. So we'll see what'll happen. It could go either way, pulling back the proposal and wolves will remain under federal protections, or the Trump administration may choose to go forward with it, at which point I predict they'll get sued.
Adrian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Adrian Trevis is a professor of environmental studies at UW-Madison, founded the Carnivore Coexistence Lab. Just ahead, the newly signed state budget boosts funding for respite care in Wisconsin, the first increase in 20 years. We'll look at the state of respite care and how the new funds will be put to use. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.